Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening, and welcome to An Adventure in History. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Seaside Hospital, here tonight with Mac Burns, Clatsop County Historical Society. And tonight we have a very intriguing guest.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yes.
I think he is going to be intriguing.
He is. He is the owner of some very popular area attractions.
That have like really just boomed.
Yes.
I mean, they haven't been here for 100 years, like the Flavelle House.
Right.
But it's probably one of the top five, top 10 things.
Definitely helped make Warrenton for sure, a destination, right? A destination attraction. But what are those businesses?
The businesses are High Life Adventures, which is a zip line course. And we started in 2012, and it became very successful quick. And then we decided to build what's called an aerial challenge course, which is High Life Adventure Park. We kept the High Life just as kind of brand recognition, and it's worked out well.
And that one's in Seaside.
That's correct.
And people see it. It's the first thing they see, really.
It kind of is.
When you get to town, as they're crawling through town, they look up and they can see this aerial adventure. I think it's a perfect location. I mean, you guys have had that property for a while. It sat there.
Yes, we've had it for I don't know how many years. I would say close to 20 years now.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
It ended up being some work we did on the property behind, then we did some work on the front, and then we ended up basically inheriting it from that project. And we tried to sell it several times, and if you've ever been by there in the wintertime, it floods quite a bit. And so we went through permitting process three separate times to get the permit to be able to fill it, to build it. And FEMA had changed the parameters, and that made it really challenging, but we finally got it. My son-in-law, Shane Dean, is excellent with permitting and patient, unlike myself. And so he went and got all the permits, and it worked out really well.
Oh, so thank goodness you didn't sell the property at any time, because that's a great location.
Perfect. It is the perfect location.
Yeah, and we did, you know, we just thought that it would work pretty well there. And it was ironic that when we had just done the drawings, we had an offer on it. It was a pretty good offer, too. But we decided to go for it.
Excellent. But you didn't introduce him.
I know. This is Dave Larson. We're so happy to have you here today. And thank you to your lovely daughter for signing you up for this adventure.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's adventure everything that you do.
Yes.
So, but do we have any plugs?
No, we don't.
We don't. Okay. The fair happened.
Yeah.
And I heard that they had great attendance because we talked about it on the radio show.
Exactly.
That I'm taking the credit for it. I think it's all because of us.
Yes.
Okay. And then the ongoing Flavelle House beautification grounds. Oh my gosh. We had members of the Air National Guard came out from Camp Rylia.
Oh, that's wonderful.
On Monday. And I felt so old because they were all like young and healthy, and they were moving all kinds of things really fast, mulch and other things.
How did they hear about it? Do you know?
They were just looking for some volunteer work.
Okay.
And then I said, hey, we've got some stuff that you could help with. And we brought a whole bunch of mulch in. They helped spread it around, and there's still work to be done. So every Monday night, 5 to 7, or every Wednesday morning from 10 to noon.
And you supply snacks and supplies.
We have snacks and bottled water, and there was still some left after the Air National Guard.
Oh, wow.
I felt badly. I said, gosh, you're working so hard. Can we buy you some pizza or something? And the commander that was in charge of the group said no.
Oh.
He said, we saw your snacks. That's plenty.
Oh, nice.
And they didn't really, I thought like when I went down and checked, they'd all be gone, but
the rest of
them. They were
life.
Very respectful of the snacks. I was like, they're there for you guys. So.
Dreaming of pizza after that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so because this is going to be a great show.
Yes.
This might be our best show ever.
I think it might.
No pressure.
To date, yes.
So let's get through. These are the things that happen tomorrow.
Yep.
So you can talk to your friends or as you're ziplining, you can talk and try and sound intelligent of like, hey, this is my favorite thing that happened on August 9th, 1173.
Oh, wow.
I'd throw you at that one. The construction of the Tower of Pisa begins, and it takes 2 centuries to complete.
So I don't know, but was it purposefully built? Cricket?
I think they were going to make a zip line out of it, and they just never did. I'm going to try and tie everything back to your business. 1790. And I almost just selfishly for the region was going to make this the history highlight of the day. 1790, Robert Gray's Columbia Redivia returns to Boston after a three-year journey. He's the first American to circumnavigate the globe. And, of course, he names the river out here.
Oh, okay.
And he's not an explorer. Everybody always kinds of thinks because he named the river, mm-hmm. the Columbia, after his ship, and because he's circumnavigating the globe, he's a fur trapper. He's a fur trader.
Yeah.
So anyway,
businessman.
Business guy. Business drives so much. Yeah. 1803, the first horses arrive in Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if they had to quarantine when they got there for 2 weeks. All right. I'm being silly. 1936, Jesse Owens wins his fourth gold medal at the Berlin Olympics.
I saw that. That's
Hitler
fun.
Did not approve. 1944, Smokey the Bear debuts as the spokes animal for fire prevention for the U.S. Forest Service.
I liked that one. That was on my list, too.
I have a beef, though.
Yes.
When I was a kid, it was Smokey the Bear. And then all of a sudden, like 10 years ago, it's Smokey Bear. They took the out.
Oh, they probably let a child involved in that decision.
I don't know. It really bothers me, though.
Smokey the Bear.
His name is now suddenly Smokey Bear. I thought it was just Smokey the Bear.
Well, one thing my dad always points out is it's good to know, too, like our National Park Service is mm-hmm. not a part of the U.S. Forest Service.
Oh, totally different.
Yeah. Department of the Interior.
Yes.
So when you're talking about Smokey the Bear or Smokey Bear, it's not for your national parks.
No, not at all. 1945, the atomic bomb is dropped on Nagasaki, the second one. The first one has been dropped on Hiroshima. 1969, Charles Manson cult kills five people.
Yep.
Stupid, stupid, stupid. 1974, Gerald Ford becomes the president after Richard Nixon resigns.
Mm.
You know, I do like Jerry Ford. He was a calming influence.
Oh, yeah.
1995, The Grateful Dead's Jerry Garcia dies.
Just barely history.
And then our history highlight of the day, I think had the most impact on history. 1859, Otis Tufts patents the first passenger elevator in the U.S. So we don't have to climb stairs anymore.
That's good.
We can just get in an elevator.
Yeah.
So I think it had a lot of impact.
It did, yeah.
It allowed skyscrapers to go higher and higher.
Yeah, made things and business more accessible.
That's right.
Right.
So what did I miss?
The one thing was 1814, ooh, Andrew Jackson and the Creek Indians signed the Treaty of Fort Jackson, giving Andrew Jackson and his group 23 million acres of Creek territory.
Yeah, that didn't work out so well for the Creek.
Yeah, 23 million. Oh, that's a lot of property.
A lot of property. Just think of how many things you could build on that.
Yeah.
How much property do you have, actually, for the zip lines?
For the zip lines, there's 30 acres, and we're fortunate enough to border Fort Clatsop National Park. And so they are excellent neighbors. They support us, and we kind of work together with them. And the other one in Seaside is, I think it's like an acre and a half.
It's amazing how much you can get on that.
Yeah. Well, it's vertical, right?
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. You don't need a big footprint if you're going up. So.
It's a gorgeous building, too. Mark and I just did that aerial adventure just a couple weeks ago. It's really hard, too. I was telling people I have to take a little while before I go back because it was challenging.
Yeah, it's much more challenging. The zip line is more like party time and fun, where the challenge course is challenging. And I think it's good in a way. We thought that it was going to be an excellent match for young people because they are going to video games and arcades and things that are fake. And this is real. You know, they really get out there and do it. And so I think it's upbuilding for them.
Okay.
So much fun.
So let's back up a little bit and talk about you and your background and how'd you come to be here and tell us about
your
life.
Family.
Family. Let's see. My grandfather came here from Sweden when he was 18 and settled here in logging. And my father and mother were both born in Astoria. And of course I was too. So our whole family's pretty much stayed around here. And in 1976, my oldest daughter was born, and that's the year I started my construction company. So it was Larson Construction Company in 1976, and just recently, right at our 45th anniversary, I've decided not to renew my contractor's license. We are so busy at the Adventure Park, and it's a lot funner in construction.
Probably a little easier, too, I'd imagine, once the stuff's built.
Yes.
I don't know about easy. So, they're pretty busy.
Well, but it's yes. more fun to interact with.
Definitely
but anyway,
more fun.
Anyway, so Sweden, what brought your grandparents from Sweden to here? Why here and why not Minnesota or someplace else?
I think from what I understand, my sister's a historian in the family, and what I understand, he went to up in Washington, northern Washington, to work logging, and he had some history of logging back in Sweden, and it was kind of a deal where he kind of snuck out of the country. His church didn't know about it or something. There's a long story about it, and I don't know all the facts for that. But basically, it was he kind of just was in a situation where he wanted to get out and go explore, and was able to do so by I don't think he stowed away, but it was kind of close to that.
I love that.
Yeah.
I don't want to know any more facts. I like that just the way it is. And I'm always fascinated just by how people find Astoria, mm-hmm. because it's such a vast country. And I can't even imagine as an immigrant, just how do you choose where you're going to end up? So I love that story. That's great.
And what kept you here as well?
I think that we had a close family. Everybody kind of stayed around together in my grandfather had a shake mill, and my dad and us siblings worked out there, and I just wanted to stay in this area. I started working when I was really young. I was kind of surprised that most of the kids I went to school with moved away to Seattle, other jobs, you know. That was 1975. I was supposed to graduate, and so the fishing and the logging started going downhill, and there wasn't much available, and I'm glad I stuck it out. I love this place.
And were you at Astoria? Then? Did you go to school in Astoria? Or was it
yes,
Warrenton?
Astoria.
Astoria. But you didn't graduate high school?
Did not.
Interesting.
Wow. Your choice or their choice?
It was my choice.
Okay.
I got a job and started working construction and thought that this is better than sitting in school. So don't advise it for everybody, but it worked for me.
Yeah. Did you have any favorite teachers? Because you're that time period that I have learned some of the teachers' names from. Prior to that, I've never heard, but in that time period.
I had a few favorite teachers, and I'm drawing a blank at the moment. One of them was Mr. Hudala, He was taught the building class. Uh-huh. And I would go to that faithfully, where I would skip my other classes in high school, because it was real to me. We're building something, working with our hands, and he was awesome, I think. And that program, whoever put that together, that was smart.
I love that.
And obviously had an influence. I mean, it was in your family anyways, but still something new. Yeah. Passion for.
Yep. Mr. Hoffman, he was a shop teacher, and anything that had to do with shop and hands-on stuff, I was good with. And so really enjoyed him also.
Great.
How did you meet your wife? Is she from here as well, Lancy?
She is from Seaside.
Okay.
And she was born in Seaside. Her mother was born in Salem, I hope I got that correct. And I met her at a bowling event and was introduced to her, and I thought, she seemed like a very nice girl, and so I ended up finding out where she worked, which was Bud's Drive-In in Gearhart.
Fun.
And so I made an excuse to go to lunch down there or something, and then got to talking to her. And she gave me her name because I couldn't remember it. She wrote it on a piece of paper, and she didn't know I couldn't remember it. It's Lancey, Lancey, and I could not, remember it, so I had it in my wallet. So anyway, that's how I got to know her.
Tell me about Bud's Drive-In, because I've heard about it, but I don't really know anything about it.
You know where Bud's Campground Grocery is?
Yeah.
So it's right there, and there's an RV park behind it. So it's next lot south, and it's where the Chinese food place is now.
Okay.
And the Osborne family owned that, and she was a waitress there.
Oh, how fun. I wish we had a drive-in. That would be so nice.
Yeah. That's some of the things lost that I, even though I'd never really truly experienced, just the historian in me.
Yeah.
Feels like I lost out.
So Lancey wanted to stay here too. So both of you decided that you were going to stay here. You ended up getting married somewhere along the way.
Yes, we got married pretty young. She was 17 and I was 18.
Oh, wow.
And it's worked out. There's been challenges, but it's really worked out well. We're well suited. Our parents were very similar, hardworking dads that work with their hands. And their mother was very similar to both of our mothers were. And so that helped our background. And we rented a little house in Gearhart. And then a couple years later, I had the opportunity to buy a house, believe it or not. And it was just, we were able to get a loan from Benjamin Franklin. And there was a builder that was also kind of a friend and a mentor of mine, Roy Hazen, that built the house and he sold it to us. And so I remember the first time we looked at the contract, and it was for $33,000, and we didn't know how we were going to make those payments, but we did it anyway. And so, and obviously that turned out as a good investment over time.
Oh. Wow.
So High Life, if I have the story correct, was the brainchild of your lovely wife. Tell us about how that came about.
So we actually had, we didn't call it a zip line, but we called it a cable car. And I, my dad reminded me, I built my first one when I was 12 years old. And it's kind of a long story. But anyway, we had that over the time. And I used to go on it occasionally. It was just for parties most of the time. It was from one side of the lake to the other. And so she came up to me and said, let's go to Hawaii. And we did. And she wanted to go zip lining. And I was hoping she'd forget about it because I didn't want to go. And so we ended up going zip lining on a zip line called Big Island Eco Adventures. And we had a blast, and it was over waterfalls and canyons. And so didn't think much more of it. And on the flight home, she turns over to me and she says, we've got a perfect piece of property to build a zip line. I said, okay, you get the permits and I'll build it. And I didn't think she would. She did, with Shane Dean's help. He did a tremendous amount of work with the county. It took us about a year for permitting. And so he got the permits, and then I started building it. My background, like I said, is construction and pile driving, and we actually had some steel piling left over from a job. And so we built it, and it worked.
So what was your hesitation when she wanted to do it in Hawaii? Was it the height? Was it the speed? Was it the lack of control? What part did you were you not excited by?
I was probably that been here, done that, you know, with the one that we had. But I didn't have a grasp on really what it entailed and how the new trolleys and how you're hooked up. And I was very impressed.
And what was the difference between your first version and what you experienced in Hawaii or the first one that you built after you came back, the one you made when you were 12 and the cable? I mean, was there any difference between what you built?
Oh, yeah, big time. The cable car was just simply a little seat that's made out of steel and a chunk of 2x12. And it was hooked to just a pulley like that you'd buy down at England Marine. And you hooked onto that thing and went and hoped that you could get stopped before you hit the bank on the other side.
So you've improved the model since
then.
Oh,
yeah.
What he's saying is it's a lot safer.
Yes, that's what I heard,
but
too.
But it's gorgeous. I mean, really, the entire course, there's 8 lines. It takes about 2 hours to do all 8 because you walk through the property. And this is your property. I mean, it's your backyard.
Yes, it's really interesting to have the situation we have because we have zip lines literally going in front and around our house and above it. But it's pretty well wooded, and it is very upbuilding to be around because people having so much fun. I mean, I can't imagine construction ever coming close to that even. It's 180 degrees out, mm-hmm. And people they come up to us and are grateful that we put this up, and we're so grateful to have the support from people. When we first built it, I said to my wife, what if I build this thing and nobody comes? And she said, they'll come. And she was right.
And it was in Warrenton. This is, you know, before Walmart and before all of the business park out there. I don't even remember if the cut-through road was Ensign even going straight to your property yet. I don't think it was when you first opened. I mean, you were kind of a little out there. But people found you.
Yeah, we're a little out of the way, and we opened in 2012, and I can't remember if that was punched through. I don't think so. I don't think it was there, and it was a little slow getting started to where the word got out. And then, of course, now we have the Adventure Park at Seaside, and we cross-market. You know, we promote back and forth, and we have the exposure like you can't believe down there.
You also have a fabulous restaurant and bar there, so indoor dining, outdoor dining as well, looking out over the zip lines as well. And you built that building too, right? I mean, you built it all.
Yeah, that building was originally built for Larson Construction. We sold out. We had a rock operation in Seaside. It used to be called Howard Johnson & Sons Construction, and Howard started it a long time ago. And then the Sons inherited it, and then we bought it from them. And then I sold to Teevan & Fisher. And when we did that, I needed to have a place to have all my equipment and my tools and stuff. So we built that shop with no intention whatsoever of having a zip line there. So my wife, I keep giving her a hard time. She keeps edging me out. That used to be my wood shop, where the restaurant is.
You still have a little shop there, though, right? Or is that not yours anymore?
She's working on that, too.
It's smaller and smaller. But it is beautiful. I mean, just the woodwork is very stunning.
Yeah, our Rotary Club went out there once and had lunch. Fun. Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is.
So the leap to making the adventure park, or I always referred to it as a cope course when I was a kid, going to different camps. It was a challenging outdoor physical experience.
Yes.
So I'm kind of locked into that. But did you just design that yourself, or did you go and visit other ones? I mean, how did you decide we're going to have steps on this and then just the monkey ropes for here? I mean, how did you design that?
We had originally hired a consultant. Well, actually, they were a consultant for the zip lines, and there's a company that called Synergo that works with us, and he just suggested putting in a challenge course because they were very successful in his opinion. And so he wanted me to put it at the High Life Adventures Park property, but then we had this other property and we're glad we chose that. But they were able to help us with design ideas, and then we went to Hawaii again, and I took a notepad with me and I drew out what I want on the building. And then Shane Dean was instrumental in helping, and also my daughter Jana. She's been awesome in taking care of business and keep promoting it and pushing it forward. And so we took that design and gave it to an architect, and then he worked on it, and then we ended up putting it through engineering and architect and several different tries until we got what we wanted.
And for people that have never done it, you're totally carabinered in, so nobody can fall and hurt themselves. They're all hooked up. Correct.
That's correct. And of course, we're always told not to tell people that it's totally safe because there's always risk. But we went with a very expensive lanyard system, which called a click it. And basically, you click in to one side and then you cannot get that off. It's magnetically charged so until you move the other one ahead. I'm not explaining it really well, but
nope,
basically, there's no way to fall because you are tied in the whole time. Now, there's, you know, things happen. But,
we can trip walking down the street.
Exactly.
But true, because again, when Mark and I did it, because you have the two hooked in at all times. And he's saying, you can only unhook one at any given time.
Yep.
So often, you know, Mark's like pulling at it. It's like, bam, you got to put the other one back over there. So very nice. But it is, again, very challenging. There's a kids course, though, there as well, that's on the ground floor. So kids can start getting involved even at a young age, and they're only a foot off the ground, right?
I think the maximum the platforms are is about 3 feet, but that's...
Okay, the bottom one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
3 feet.
And is that the one Carly did?
Yeah, she hasn't done that. She's done the zip line.
Okay.
She's been watching for years, and she's a tiny one. She's 6, but she finally made the height and, I don't know, a length, I guess, to do it just this a couple months ago. And she was so excited. Oh my, it was just a dream come true. Because truly, I have pictures of her as like a 3-year-old sitting there like this watching, you know, just intent on those zip liners. So she loved it. She made the news for it, actually, because the picture was so cute of her doing it. So she was happy.
She's very photogenic.
Yes.
For any brochures, call your family.
Yes.
So you obviously the attendance has been beyond what you ever imagined, or probably your wife imagined, but everybody else did not. And it's just been magical. Any favorite guests or favorite stories of famous people or goofy people or anything wacky has happened?
There's been a few instances, and most of them positive. I think one of my favorite groups is the ones that come off the American Empress right here where we're at, and they are typically an older crowd, and to give them the same adrenaline experience that an 18-year-old will have is very fulfilling, to see their faces and how happy they are.
I had no idea that they went out there. My eyes, when you started that, got really, really big because I can't imagine. That's amazing that you do that with them. That's fantastic.
And our oldest zipline customer has been 101 years old, and we've had a couple of those.
Wow, because it's so smooth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like you're on a swing.
Yep.
And then you're just up really high.
That's amazing.
So I love that your family's everywhere in this business. Tell me everyone who works that's related to you. I mean, Lancey's in the restaurants. Jana's at the aerial park. I mean, your granddaughters are involved. Tell us about that, because this family spirit really seems to run generations through your family.
Yes, I feel very fortunate to have children that are involved. And I haven't mentioned her yet, but Katie Rummel is my oldest daughter. She is the manager at High Life Adventures and also cooks and does an unbelievable amount of stuff, especially when we're so shorthanded right now. Then Jana, the same way, she works nonstop down at the Adventure Park, and they have been they make my job easy because they're doing all the hard stuff. So I really appreciate them. And then I'm proud to say that we have 5 grandchildren that work in the businesses. And so, Austin, my oldest grandson, and Kiara, which is Katie's 2 children, and then Savannah and Ava, which is Jana's 2 children, and then Olivia, which is my youngest daughter, Heidi's child, and they're all working, and it's fun to watch them, and they're getting real life's experiences. There's no slacking.
I love that.
So are there any secret plans for the future, any other expansions, or is this... is this kind of it? Because you nailed it with both of these places.
Well, I like always making something better, but we were advised that, like on the zip line, people keep asking me, you're going to add another zip line. And they're saying between 2.5 and 3 hours, you can hold people's attention. So if it starts going on beyond that, they start maybe getting a little bored. So we didn't want that. But as far as the amenities, we've since added axe throwing, which has been very interesting. Mm-hmm. And we are intending to put a deck out over towards the water to open things up a little bit where people can actually sit on the deck and be right out over the lake. Nice. Not directly over the lake, but close to it. And then we just added, it's been 3 months ago, a kiddie zip. And I call it the automatic babysitting machine. We got a little zip, and the kids just go back and forth all day on it. And mom and dad can have beer and relax.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. That's funny. Alana's eyes were smiling.
I know. Been there, done that.
So, have you done all of these things at this point? And what's your favorite thing that you offer to the public? What's the favorite thing that you enjoy the most doing yourself on it?
I would say jumping off the tower in the dark on the Zwing. And I don't know if anybody's explained to you that that is a pretty unique experience. It's a 20-foot lanyard. You typically have a 2-foot lanyard, and we built a platform off the side where you can jump on the opposite cable, which is kind of hard to explain, but basically instead of a 2-foot lanyard, you have a 20-foot. So when you jump off, you get a free fall, and then it picks you up and zips you across the lake, and to do that in the dark is pretty awesome.
I have not done that.
Yeah, I know it's all safe.
It is,
but
yeah.
But there's still just that moment of, oh my goodness.
Yes.
That just...
that's great. And, yeah. And really, you have a great venue, too. I'd just like to point out, because people don't think of it. Mark did his high school reunion there. There's weddings have been there. Just that venue at High Life Adventures is something really to think about, because it's more than just ziplining. You've really set it up there to have a lot of experiences out there. Thank you for doing that. I love it.
You're welcome.
And thanks for coming. And what a great family story you've got, and what a great legacy you've built, and what a great addition to the tourist and good fun that can happen here in Clatsop County. So thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right, go make some history and maybe include a zip line in it, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.